families such as Job, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where the head of these godly families functioned like priests. They did offerings on behalf of the whole family, which was exactly what Job did in Job chapter 1. And from that we see that they were like mediators between God and His people. When the nation of Israel was formed, God replaced these heads of families with the Levitical priesthood. And from that point onwards, the Levitical priests were the ones whom God had chosen to be the mediators. When Israel entered into the promised land after the time of Joshua, it was the start of the theocratic rule where God Himself was king. God as king did not need any army. God required the people of Israel to be taught the word of God. And God chose the priests and the Levites to be the teachers of God's word, so that the people of Israel will be a holy and a godly example. And the priests were only for men. Women were not permitted to function as priests in the time of the Old Testament national witness. During the time of the tabernacle, it was the same. During the time of the temple, it was the same. Only the men were permitted to be priests. Now, does that mean the women in those days were useless? No. They were very, very important to the priests because they were the mothers of the children of the priests. And these children, especially the sons, will become the future priests or Levites. And therefore, their role and their duty to bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord was very important. They may not be doing the work inside the temple, inside the tabernacle, but they were very, very important in the whole scheme of things that God had determined for a successful, effective, holy witness as a nation. And then when the nation of Israel rejected Christ, God cannot allow them to be His witness anymore, because you can reject the messengers, you can kill the prophets. As long as you hold on to the message, God can still use you to be His witness, which was what they did in the Old Testament. They killed many, many of the prophets, but God did not replace them, but God continued to use them. But once you rejected Christ, the Messiah, that means the heart of the message is gone. And once you reject the heart of the message, God says, I cannot use the nation of Israel anymore, so I'm going to replace you with a people who were not my people, but I'm going to make them my people. And that was the start of the local church witness. Alright, from Acts chapter 2, it will now be a new witness that the world had never seen before. And with this new witness, God also has to give us the new guidelines for the leaders that will take care of my people in this church witness. It's not up to us. The nation of Israel was not given any opportunity to discuss with God what should constitute as the way the nation of Israel ought to witness for Christ. God did not ask Israel, all right, let's sit down and discuss what kind of food you should eat or not eat as you witness for me. God did not discuss. God said, these are the food you can eat, these are the food you cannot eat, right? God did not sit down and discuss with Israel how to spend your 7 days a week. God says, no, I will determine. The seventh day is a day of rest, the other days you work hard. God did not discuss how you dress. God tells you how you dress. Only fully 100% linen or cotton. You cannot make any garments of mixed material. How you farm, everything God will determine. True? How you plant. God did not sit down and bargain with Israel. You witness for me, I tell you how you witness for me. It's not up to you to choose. No bargaining. Not like the rest of the world. The rest of the world, it's up to the leaders, it's up to the government, how you want to run your country, it's up to you. And so you see this in the world. Some countries say it's okay to legalize drug taking. Some countries say no death penalty. Some countries say yes, death penalty. And all up to the different nations, different leaders. It's up to you. God says, fair enough, I have not required any one of you to to be my witness, to bear my name, you can do what you want. But not Israel. You are a nation bearing my name, the image of Christ, and therefore God has to decide everything. Same for the church. God will decide everything. God did not give us the liberty. Now, even when God gives us the liberty, as Romans 12 tells us, some may consider certain days as more holy, some may consider days as not holy, but all must do it as unto the Lord. So that's why in our church, we have Christmas, we want to celebrate, but we have to make sure that how we celebrate the birth of Christ, it has to be done according to the Bible. We want to celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ, we call it Easter, we must do it according to the Bible. There are some churches, they feel that we should not, because it is not told to us to do so in the Bible, they don't want to, it's fine. You don't want to do it, you don't do it as unto the Lord. So you don't murmur and complain when others do it. Because the Bible made it very plain and clear in Hebrews 14, not 12, Hebrews 14. He made it very plain and clear. So same for the leadership in the church, especially females, right? You chose the word female, so I use the word female, okay? Not ladies, a female in church leadership. As opposed to male, I guess, huh? Females in church leadership. You all have no problem with males in church leadership. Somehow you all have problems with females in the church leadership. Was there a message on males in the church leadership? Don't have, huh? How come?
Yeah, no issue.
No, no issue with that. But females you have. Females you have. Why? Because you see, in many churches, you have women pastors. And so I have a discussion question for you, right? Concerning women pastors. Oh, they do not know the discussion questions yet?
Not yet.
Oh, they're not yet. Okay, so you all know, huh? Only the husband and wife know. The rest do not know. All right, that's fair enough. Right, so I won't say anything, huh? Right, you let them. Okay, so we have female pastors, female preachers, especially in the charismatic churches, and now you find it also in many mainline churches, like the Methodist, they have it, the Anglican, they have it, the Presbyterian, they have it. I'm not sure the Baptists, some Baptists do, some Baptists don't. Okay, so because Baptists are individual, church by church, whereas the Methodist, the hierarchy means the moment the leadership say okay, you find many Methodist churches will have. Same for the Presbyterian system. But the Baptists are all individual, so some have, some don't have. But by and large, we are all affected by it because of these female pastors, female elders, female preachers, and so we have an issue. How should we regard females in church leadership? First, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 14. Now this is the context of church leadership. Okay? Because immediately after this, in chapter 3, you have the qualifications of the bishops, that's elders and pastors, and then you have the qualifications of the deacons from verse 8 onwards, right up to verse 13. Okay? So we know that the context, it's about leadership. And so Paul wanted to teach Timothy, who was appointed the pastor of the church in Ephesus. So apparently, Timothy faced certain problems also with women in the church leadership. And so he now gave guidelines before he gave the qualifications. Because the qualifications of the elders or the pastors from verse 1 to verse 7 in chapter 3, you realize that it is all masculine, male. This is a true saying. If a man, a male, desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So he, all masculine. But before he gave these qualifications, he set the ground rules. Why a woman cannot become an elder or a pastor. She can be a deacon. In other words, the English word is a deaconess. You'll find this from verse 8 to verse 13. All right, we'll talk more about that. All right, so first, why can't a woman be an elder? Chapter 2, verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now this word, learn in silence with all subjection, simply talks about leadership. But I suffer not a woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Right? That means, inside the church, the woman must not usurp the position, the authority of the man, to dominate. Right? To act according to her own authority over the man. There is no biblical injunction that God has given the woman the position of authority over the man. Now, this is with reference to eldership and bishop or pastor. Please understand this. This does not mean that the woman cannot teach her sons. Right? If you are a woman, you're the mother, and then you have boys, the boys cannot go to this verse and say, "Mom, God says, I suffer, I do not permit." The word suffer means permit. "I do not permit you to teach me," God says. "I'm a man, you know, Mom. Not to usurp the authority over the man." "Oh, see, Mommy, you must keep quiet. You cannot dominate me. I'm the man. But to be in silence. See, Mom, you've got to keep quiet." Why? These are the two reasons. Verse 30, verse 14. It's not about mother cannot take care of sons. It also does not mean that a Sunday school teacher cannot teach boys. It also does not mean that in the fellowship, you cannot have a woman who is a chairman. We are talking about elders, pastors, overall in charge of the whole church, in other words, because the elders are the ones who are overall in charge of the whole church. So the body that oversees the entire church setup, only men are allowed. Right, that's why the board of elders are for. Alright, we call it the board of elders. Now, the Bible Presbyterians, call the secondary leadership the session. And the session is a combination of elders, deacons, and deaconesses. But they are not overall in charge. So that means, as long as the overall in charge body, that is the board of elders, are made up of all men, no women. That means the pastors and elders are all men. The other ministries, made up of other subordinate leaders, you can have women, that's fine. That's why we have no problem in Sunday school where women can chair meetings. Our junior worship, the person in charge can be a woman, and then you may have a man who is a Sunday school teacher, and she can chair the meeting. That's fine. Not an issue. Remember, the Bible here talks about the highest body, that is the board of elders, overseeing all ministries in the church. It must only be men. You do not usurp the authority over the men, that is the church as a whole. Two reasons. First, God decided. Adam was first formed and then Eve. Now that one you can never argue against. That was determined by God. In other words, this all male in the board of elders, also determined by God. Because God first formed man and then woman. You can't deny this. God did not ask anybody for permission. Remember, you and I are witnessing for God. We are not witnessing for ourselves. Just as God did not give the people of Israel the liberty to bargain with God what constitutes holy witness. God just prescribed, you just obey. Likewise, when we, the church, replace the national witness, God also has prescribed. Our response to Him is obey. You don't try to argue and try to manipulate and change. The moment you argue and change, God will reject you. The problems in the witness will become very serious. And it will become a big problem. God says, "I want you to witness for me, and therefore I will not give you the liberty to pick and choose and to bargain with me how I want you to witness. I'm not asking to witness for yourself. You are witnessing for Christ, and therefore I will give the guidelines. Follow." That's it. Don't try to manipulate, don't try to change. Second reason. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So the second reason is the woman's fault. And that's why God will replace you. You were deceived. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve was deceived by the serpent. Adam was not. Okay? Adam also sinned, definitely. But Adam was not the one deceived by the serpent. God made us differently. The man and the woman. Those who are married will know that the man and the woman, they think differently, they reason differently, they feel differently, they look at the world differently. And the only way you can tell that they are different when they look at the world is when you are married. Right? The woman will give to the man a perspective of life that he will never know unless he is married. And the man will give to the woman a perspective of the world and life that she will never know unless she is married. That's why 1 plus 1 in marriage equals 1. That's what marriage will do. And therefore God made us differently, and therefore God knows our makeup. Salvation is the same for everyone. There is no difference between male and female, Jews and Gentiles. Everybody must accept Christ to be saved. We are not talking about salvation here. We are talking about witnessing for Christ. And therefore God did not give us the liberty to pick and choose how we witness. He has determined it for us. And so you find that the qualifications of the elder, all masculine gender, not feminine gender at all. That's why the husband of one wife. Okay? All masculine gender. This is God's way. And God is the one who made us male and female. Okay? Not up to us to choose. God made us male and female. And therefore, God is the one who determined. We can't choose which century to be born in. We can't choose what gender we are born in. We can't choose which city we're going to be born in. We can't choose our parents who's going to give birth to us. All determined by God. And therefore, this witness for Christ is also determined by God. Our response is to humbly submit and accept. Alright, please don't think, just like in the Old Testament time, the women are useless. The women are very, very good as helpers, suitable for the men. That's what marriage is also. The wife is supposed to be a helper, suitable for men. The women in the family of God in the church, they can assist, they can help, they can do a lot. But the leader, God will hold them accountable. Just like in every marriage, God will hold the man accountable for the direction of the home. Whether it is spiritual or carnal, the man as the head will be responsible. If you surrender your headship and let your wife rule the home, God will still hold you accountable by your surrendering of your position to the wife, and therefore now the wife make a mess of it, oh, she will be punished. But you will also be punished as well, because God has made you as the man who is the head of the family, and you abdicated your position, you pay the price. Right? Now, deaconess. You look at verse 8. Deacon mentioned. Verse 9, describing the deacon, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Verse 10, describing the deacon. Let these also first be proved, then let them also, let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. And then verse 12, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Now why is there a break in the description of the deacons? Alright, be grave, be not double-tongued, and so on. Verse 11 is not about deacon or deacon's wife. Verse 11 is a description of deaconesses. Okay? How do we know that? Well, we know that because number one, we know that deaconesses existed in the early church. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Romans 16, verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Sancria. Now the word servant there is the Greek word for deacon. Okay, deacon. Masculine. Phoebe was a woman. Why did the Apostle Paul use or borrow a masculine gender terminology to describe Phoebe's position in the church that is at Sancria, because there is no feminine gender for diakonos, which is the Greek word for deacon. There is no feminine. That's why he had to use the word masculine to describe Phoebe. And that's how we know that Phoebe, at the time, in the Apostle Paul's time of the local church, she was a deaconess. And this was also mentioned again in the superscription in chapter 16, verse 27 of Romans. Those of us who have the English Bible, do you have, after verse 27, some smaller words? Do you have that? Does the Bible have it or not? After verse 27 of Romans 16, where it says, written to the Romans from Corinthus and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Sancria. Does your Bible have it? You don't have it, huh? Have? Now, some have, some don't have. So, some publishers of the Bible, they put it in, some do not. Now, these are all extra. You find that at the end of the manuscripts, after it is written, they will tell you where it was written, they will tell you who was the one who delivered it. And so, these are all extra. So some publishers felt that it should not be part of God's word. Some of them do. And when they do, they use a smaller font. Some of them put it under italics to make a distinction. But they are found in the end of the manuscripts where it says, written to the Romans from Corinth, that is Corinthus, and delivered or sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Sancria. So that means this epistle to the Romans was written by the Apostle Paul when he was in Corinth. And it was given to Phoebe, who delivered this to them. And that's why Paul says to them, I now commend you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a deaconess of the church, which is at Sancria, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint. That means you take care of her. She traveled this long journey from Corinth to Rome to give this epistle. Please take care of her physical well-being and give her the food and the shelter that she needed. And the same word, servant, is also the word diakonos in chapter 16, verse 1. So that means God used the word diakonos or deacon to describe Phoebe, which means we know that in the early church you have deaconesses. Okay? She was one. Phoebe was one of them. And then you turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, if Paul were to use the word deacon, diakonos, in verse 11, it will be confusing because the word diakonos was used in verse 8 to describe the male deacons. You notice this? Right? But in Romans, he was not describing any deacons, and that's why he used the term which was meant for the male deacons to describe Phoebe. But in this context, he could not. It will be confusing. And so he used another Greek word to describe the deaconesses, and it was the word for wives or women. Okay, it can be even so the women, because the phrase must their wives or must their, the two words must their is in italics. Right? So even so, women be great. If I remove the italics, you understand? Now, it makes no sense for Paul to describe the virtue or the qualifications of the wives of deacons when there are no description of the qualifications of the wives for elders, when the qualifications of the elders are much, much more stringent than the qualifications of the deacons. Right? So therefore, the wives here could be translated women is basically a description of the deaconess. That's why you realize the similarity of the qualifications in verse 8 and verse 11. So the qualifications of the deacons, be grave and not double-tongued. For the women, that's all the same. Be grave and not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. And then after describing the deaconess, God described the deacons first, and then the deaconess. And then verse 12 applies only to the deacons. You see this? Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. This cannot apply to the women. You follow? That's why this verse 11 is a qualification for the deaconesses, not for the wives of the deacons per se, but for the deaconesses. So that means in the leadership of the church, you must have only male for the board of elders, but then the second level of the leadership that we call the session, which is made up of elders and deacons and deaconesses, and you find this in our constitution. So our constitution has guidelines to permit deaconesses to be put up for election and then to become part of the leadership, but not the overall highest leadership, which is the board of elders. That one is only for male, and God made it very plain and clear in chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, the reasons why. Because God made Adam first, and then the women are the ones who was deceived by the serpent, and for these two reasons, God disqualified the women from position of elders or pastors in His church. Witness. Now God is the one who has the right to prescribe. Nobody else, because it is a witness for Christ, and therefore Christ alone can dictate how we ought to witness for Him. Just like in the time of the nation of Israel, God did not give Israel any opportunity to bargain with Him how they should live as a nation. God determined and decided everything for Israel, from their diet to their dressing to how they spend their week to their holy days, everything. And that's the same thing for us as a church. God is not going to sit down and bargain with us, because if God were to do that, you're going to find that it will be a nightmare. So God dictated and determined everything, regardless. Because you have African Christians, they want to have the African way. Japanese, Korean, Chinese, Singaporean, Chinese from China, Europeans, all will have their own way. So God gave guidelines. God did not require us to have some similar dressing. God did not control our diet. God allowed us to eat everything. God just simply gave us guidelines concerning modest dressing. You find that in verse 9, right? Chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, shamefacedness, sobriety, and so on. So God gave general broad guidelines concerning dressing, concerning food. God says you and I can eat anything and everything you want except blood and food offered to idols. You find this in 1 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10. But other than that, the leadership in the church, God was very concerned. God says in all the other levels, you can have women, but the highest level, the board of elders, only men. I know that is how we understand the scriptures, and that's how our church functions. Now, you and I know the YF, YAF, AF, all these are not found in the Bible. Where did they come from? They came from the West. Alright? They came from the missionaries from the West who brought us the gospel. And since the church had been in existence for hundreds of years, since the 16th century Reformation in 1517, they already established and developed the order of service, the order of worship, I mean, and also what the church ought to be. So that when they came from the West to this part of the world, they gave us the gospel. After our forefathers had accepted Christ, they were brought into the church, and they also took their way of worship, and then they just apply it here, and then they also taught us the language, and they also taught us the hymns that the forefathers composed after the 16th century Reformation. So we don't have to invent our own. So along the way, we will adjust and adapt the order of service to our own culture, to our own practice. And that's how our order of service is in this manner. It was from the West. We tweaked it, adjusted it to fit and suit our understanding, our culture. And that's why we worship the way we worship. God gave us the liberty in all these little things. But the guideline is as unto the Lord. It has to be according to the general guidelines concerning who God is. That's why we worship in a manner that is reverential. We do not want to worship in a manner that is carnal. That's why we reject contemporary Christian music. God gave us the broad guidelines, but God gave us enough guidelines, especially the leadership. The leadership is key. Second, 1 Corinthians 14. First is the leadership, huh? Now, worship. Women are not allowed to preach. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 and verse 35. So leadership, and now preaching. Chapters 11 is worship, right? We have the chapter on the Lord's Supper. Chapters 12, 13, 14 is also about worship. Chapter 14 was the abuse of the speaking of God's word in another language, which is called tongue speaking, in worship. Right, chapter 12 talks about how we are all part of the body of Christ. We are all given spiritual gifts. Use them for the blessing of others. The motive for the use of spiritual gift is chapter 13, which is the love, agape love that God has given to us. And then chapter 14 talks about worship. Right, that's the context. And so during worship, let your women keep silence in the churches. That is in the worship service. That's why women are not allowed to preach. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. Same in the Old Testament, and you find the same in the New Testament witness, the church. It was true in the time of the Old Testament, it was true also in the time of the New Testament witness. Now, some of you might think that, well, what about the four virgin daughters of Philip, whom the Bible described them as prophetess? Right? You find this in where? Acts 21, verse 9. The four daughters of Philip who prophesied. They were not doing it during worship. They were prophesying outside of worship. We are not saying that there are no women who are prophets, by all means. We are now talking about leadership in the church. That means worship service will also be part of it. It talks about the demonstration of the leadership, the preaching of God's word as part of the leaders, the leadership. And so the women are not allowed. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church. It is a shame. It is a shameful thing. Now this is what God says. Alright, just like in the home, God says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And God says to the husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now God prescribed this. God did not say, husbands, submit yourselves unto your wives as unto the Lord. Right? God did not say that. God says, wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. That's it. Same for the church. God says, women, you are not permitted to preach. You keep silent. If you want to learn anything, you learn at home and ask your husbands. Yeah? If you are not married, you can ask the pastor, you can ask the elder privately. You are not allowed to speak during the church service, during the church meeting. That's why also in ACM, women are not permitted to speak. At ACM. If you want to speak, you ask your husband for permission. If the husband says, no need, then no need. He can answer whatever he wants to answer. If the husband says, okay, you can ask. He will ask, not you. He will ask on your behalf. That's our practice. That's our understanding. Women do not speak at ACM. But what about the single one? The single one can ask, and then we will answer, because at ACM, you know the Constitution says you have to submit your questions 10 days in advance. Right? And then we can answer whatever questions you have. But for the women who are married, even before you submit the question, you should ask your husband first. Okay? You should ask the husband for permission. If the husband says, no need to write, then no need to write. Okay? So, leadership, 1 Timothy 2, board of elders, no women, only male. Elders and pastors. Masculine gender, the biblical reasons, man created first, woman was deceived, Adam was not. In worship, the women, they are not permitted to preach from the pulpit. They can teach at any other level. They can go up and give testimonies. That's fine. Testimonies of salvation, testimony of what God has done in their lives. All these things are fine. We are talking about preaching the word of God. We are talking about being in a position of a pastor ministering the word of God during worship service. God says that God commands, I do not permit them to speak. Period. You want to challenge? You challenge God. Now this is not something that is started by man. This is God's word. We are witnessing for God the image of Christ. And therefore, God again did not give us the liberty to sit down and bargain with Him. He determines it. Our response is to obey and submit ourselves and accept Him. Any question? Any question? You have a question, then I ask you a question. So let's say we have a deaconess. Okay? Can the deaconess sit up there and help to distribute the Lord's Supper? Huh? Cannot. Because cannot, right? You say cannot because all of them must wear coat and long pants. And tie. So you want us to wear long pants, coat and tie, is it? Dress like a man. Cannot have long hair, must cut hair short. Huh? Is that what you're saying? Can or cannot?
Can.
Huh?
Can. I guess.
You guess can?
Yeah, because you will not speak.
Yeah. So can serve God? What's up? Can. Can or cannot? Cannot. Cannot. Huh? Can. Can or cannot? Is it? You often have questions. I ask you. So
if you have enough
discuss.
Hands, is can.
Huh?
If you have enough hands, like enough
men,
deacon to do it,
then no need.
No need, but yeah,
if you are short, then okay.
Yes, yeah. Then if you can and cannot,
okay. Can women preach? No. Cannot preach. What if there are no men?
Can.
You see, the subject is, once you allow this, no man, not enough, then can, then this also can. Right? No man also can.
If you really don't have men,
then cannot. That's why,
that means if the church only got women.
Yeah.
Then but then only women. That means I say, you know.
Yeah, man, that's why that wouldn't be the
okay,
the church
got
women. Come on,
there's no man. But I think cannot.
I mean, no man means no man leaders, right? No man no leaders.
No, because Bible says the women cannot.
Okay, what if a woman goes to a town as a missionary and preach the gospel, and then the man becomes believers and he's newborn in Christ? He doesn't know enough of God's word, and so on Sunday she asks him to come for worship. And so now you have all the men there, but they're all babes in Christ, and she is the one who's a missionary. Can she preach her?
Yeah, this is conditions.
Yes.
You see, that's what I'm saying. This was exactly what happened, right, in the early days, in Malaysia, during Evan Toh's time. It was exactly what happened. Because there were three students who started in IBBC, right? One left, the other two, one was Mrs. Ivy Toh, and the other one is Miss Ng San Chiu. You all know about her, right? You all don't know about her? You know, right? Each end knows, right? Those who are older believers, you should know. You should know also. And she was a missionary. She was not ordained. She cannot conduct the Lord's Supper. Once a month, Reverend Toh will go down to the town. I think it was Kulai Besar or something like this. Where she will be ministering on all the other Sundays, preaching the word. But once a month, Reverend Toh will go down and preach and conduct the Lord's Supper. She cannot baptize. She cannot conduct the Lord's Supper. But she was preaching. Until the men grew and become mature enough, and then they would take over and she would step down. Now, the reason why I cite all this is because the exception does not change the rule. The rule is still the same. Okay? The rule is men will be the preacher. Now, concerning women elders, that one will not change. Even though we don't have any, then we know. no women elders. That means the deacons and the deaconesses will have to function as the leaders. Can't be helped. Okay? Now, in our church, I know in some churches, they have women who are deaconesses serving the Lord's Supper and also collect offerings. But in our church, because we have enough men, we do not require that. Okay? Now, walking down the aisle, mother can do it, father can do it, giving the daughter away. That one, permissible. That one is a Western guideline. Okay? Any other question? Alright, let us close in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for saving us and for giving us the privilege to remain on earth to be Your witness. Thank You, Lord, for raising us in the 20th century and the 21st century to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. Help us to be faithful. Help us to make sure that this church that You have given to us is a church that is acceptable to Thee, because we have all the ministries, especially the leadership, organized according to the teaching of God's Holy Word. Where we have failed Thee, O Lord, may God forgive us. Help us to remain faithful to Thee and not allow the pressures that we see in these last days to force us to compromise and not obey Thy Holy Word in terms of the role of the men and the women in church leadership. May Thy Holy Spirit continue to protect and watch over this church, that we may be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this church will remain true to our Savior all the days of her existence, even unto the time when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.